again, my brothers and my sisters in Christ Jesus. I greet you in the name of Yahushua HaMashiach, Lord and Savior, ruler of all. In Him we live and move and have our being. Yes, be in Him, remain in Him, His words remain in you, and you and I do bear much fruit. You and I do become what God intended us to be when we remain in Him. You know, there is this thing about being, about remaining, about staying in that place in I Am. And, you know, the disciple of Christ is a disciplined person. A disciple of Christ is a person that has learned to quiet themselves at the foot of Christ, has learned to look to Him for all things, to lead and to guide and to direct and to shape us into what God intends. The worlders look to the world. They look to man. They look to their own inventions. They look to their own intelligence. That's what they call it. They look to their own systems. And the problem is that those things never work. They're given the illusion that they work for a window of time. Strong delusion, the scriptures talks about it. Because they refuse to love the truth, God gives them over to a lie and to a powerful delusion, so that believing the lie they may be damned. Because people refuse to believe the truth, people are allowed to believe that the lie works for a window of time. But then when that window is up, the lie is shown for what it is, that it's impotent. No power whatsoever. And a lie, when it's exposed to the light, when it's exposed to truth, when it's exposed to righteousness, it wilts. That's why people try so hard that are on that dark side to stop the light from getting through, to block it, to hinder it, to twist it. You know, that's the stance that they've taken. That's the bargain they made with the devil, if you would. The deal they made is to be on that side means that you have to be anti-Christ, anti-light, anti-truth, anti what is good and what is right. You have to be a pervert. You have to be a twisted sicko. You have to be a pedophile in the making. You have to be a deviant. You have to be a murderer. You have to be a liar. You have to be all of those things that side, the worlders, need to perpetuate their system and to carry on what they do. You know, I mean, we've talked about this in recent times a significant amount. You can go back through some of the recent audios if you would like, because they are there for that purpose. Thank God for the innovations in technology of what can be done with them when in the hands of the children of God. But yeah, we talked about, if you go the way of your flesh, if you're in trouble, it will kill you quickly. You go the way of even your mind, there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There's a way that seems right to a man. That is the Proverbs 14, Proverbs 16 admonition, that there's a way that seems right to that soul thinking inside of you. But the end of it is the ways of death. Meaning that it'll kill you if you go that way. And yet the world toggles between motivation from demonic forces, sowing to their flesh, and from that flesh reaping corruption and destruction, and their natural thoughts, man-made thinking, man-made ideas, man-made innovation, Stephen Hawking Central. That's where the world is kind of bouncing between those different pieces. All the while, missing light, missing truth. Way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You know, I mean, even the music world, the world's music as such. I mean, it promotes a lifestyle that if you believed it, if you bought into it, you would be an absolute wreck. You know, I mean, you would forget hearing the voice of God, but just even in yourself, even in your own body, even in your own ability to think and to process, the depth of your character, the depth of your mind and your thoughts would be so shallow. I mean, it'd be like a 1-inch pool. Nothing there, no substance, no anything. But, you know, monkey see, monkey do. There's a lot of monkeys running around. Oh, yes. I just checked out recently, over the last few days, I was traveling with some people here in Sri Lanka, and checked out a few historical spots. One that was full of monkeys, tons of monkeys running around. Yeah, they're naughty little guys. And they will take whatever you have that's edible. If you don't have a good look on it, they will take that and they will start to eat it. Naughty fellows. Anyways, but that which the world pushes is Antichrist. Now, in the middle of this, so here you are, here I am, God's child, called before the foundations of the world to be His, known before this whole thing even started, called to be His, destined to walk with Him, destined to know Him, and now here we are in this world, and the question then arises, how now do we live? Now what do we do? What is the purpose of our time here? What is this window of life about? What should we be engaging our time in specifically? And these are challenging questions. Because, one, this is something between you and the Father. You know, I know so often we would like to know, okay, what do I do now? What do I do now? But that's something that He reveals based on the emancipation of your soul, not someone else's, your soul. See, there is a path that Jesus leads His people into. And because each of us are uniquely and wonderfully and fearfully made, in that uniqueness of who we are, there's also a unique way that you and I, as individuals, need to go for God to bring forth that which He desires in us. And the path that I must go, maybe there's some similarities between what God puts us through. But you have your road to travel. I have mine. You have your gifts. I've got what God's given me. You have a heart. Your heart doesn't do what the liver does. You have a liver. The liver doesn't do what the kidneys do. You have kidneys. They don't do what the lungs do. You have different parts of your body that do that which they've been designed and made to do. And so likewise, for us, you know, part of that challenge is, okay, coming out of the world, being separate, touching not the unclean thing, God receiving us, burning out the world in us, calling us unto Himself, making us what He desires us to be, and then sending us forth to do exploits, to do that which He's intended. You know, that's part of the challenge, because, see, for some people, part of what God has pulled them out of is sometimes the very thing that God may be sending you into. So, maybe I should clarify that. So, for example, you know, God may be, I'll use a very generic one, God may be having one person leave social work because that is something that, for whatever reason, maybe it's an idol, maybe it's a block for them, maybe it's something that that's done, it's a season of their life, it's over. He may be having one person leave that and at the same time sending someone else into that. Dude, this is why godly counsel will recognize that. Godly counsel will listen to the Spirit of God that's in them and in you and speaking to all of us who are in oneness with Christ Jesus. Godly counsel will listen to that and then will know, here's what the Spirit of God says to this person in this situation and what now should be that direction. And they will reinforce what God already puts in your heart. Worldly counsel and counsel cut off from the Spirit of God will make a decision based on the minds of men, based on the minds and the thoughts of people. And the downside of that is that you go the wrong way. You waste time, you waste energy, you waste effort, you waste those resources that you have, and you do that which there's no satisfaction in it. Now, part of this process is, though, is there's a window and a time that God sometimes turns things at. And this is one of those amazing things. God pulls Moses out of Egypt, sends Moses back to Egypt, then to take people out again. You think that Moses, after he left there when he was 40, that he's done with that place. Sure looked like it. But in God's plan and God's timing, there was more to be done. In God's plan and God's timing in your life, you have to listen to Him, because He knows where He wants you, when He wants you there, what He wants you to be doing in that time, in that phase, in that place. And this is between you and Him. I think very often people are overly influenced by the voices that are around them. Every voice except the one they should actually be listening to. That is the mantra of the Worlders Church. Absolutely. And there, you're completely locked in. It's all opinion. There's no voice of God anywhere in there. It's all cost-benefit analysis and making that best decision to save your life in this world is what they do and what they seek to do. We don't live like that. At the same time, too, it doesn't mean that God's always going to be throwing you into the lion's den. You'll have your lion's den experience, of course. You have your fiery furnace. You have your wilderness experience. You have those. You have your Acts 16. Yes, you have those. We have those. But we also have all kinds of other stuff, too. It's a full life. It's a rich life experience where we experience the ups and the downs, the agonies as well as the triumphs. And then when you come to a place in Christ too where you realize, you know what, it doesn't matter whether I'm up in the eyes of the world, whether I'm down in the eyes of the world, I'm in Him. And I think that's partly why God allows us to go through so many of these swings, is because after a while you start realizing, look, success is not a measure of godliness, nor is failure in the eyes of others. To have or to not have is not a measure of God's blessing on your life. God does promise. He has promises in there. He promises to take care of your needs if you seek first the kingdom. That's a promise. But people have gone and taken these and twisted them all over the place. Look, as you follow out God's plan and purpose for you, He's going to lead you. And as He leads you, He's going to show you. And as He shows you, He's going to be working with you to create in you exactly what He desires. It's a process, and your process is different. It's different than mine. So we can encourage each other in this way, but each one has to walk it out before the Father themselves. I know that there's that people have a hard time with that, because the loneliness is a scary thing. The loneliness for many people is a very scary thing, because you don't want to be out there on your own. You don't want to be alone. You don't want to face the consequences of life, of what that means to of what that means to try to do this the way that God, you know, he's putting it in your heart to do. But the truth is, that is life, and along that is the path of life, and along the way, along that path, he knows how to meet the needs and the longings of your heart. See, too many people, what they do is they just don't trust God. And faith and trust are synonymous words. They just don't trust God. But so they trust him to a point. They trust him to save their souls. They trust him to help them get a job. But then when it comes to other things, when it comes to life partners, when it comes to big decisions that need to be made, all of a sudden they don't trust him anymore. Well, that is now the limit of their faith. That is now the place where they've stepped off. God is looking for people that will walk with him in spirit and in truth, will have faith, have trust in him, no matter what the situation is on the external. And you're going to need that kind of faith in the days ahead. Because the world now is coming into a turbulent time. The world now is coming into a season of dread. A season and a time where people, men's hearts will fail them because of the things that they see coming upon the earth. That happens. Why does that happen? Because people aren't rooted and grounded in truth. They're not rooted and grounded in Christ. And if you don't have what's real, the lie, when it falls apart, the people that are existing that are utterly decimated. You can't go the way of a lie and expect to stand in the day of adversity. You can't go the way of a lie and expect that everything's going to be fine when that lie is tested. No one gets away with anything. You know, this is again one of those deceptions. You know, I noticed again, back to some of this, you know, back to worldly music and music videos and all that stuff. Boy, what a sales job they're working on. To want to tell you that you can do whatever you want and there are no consequences. You can live a fast life, you can do these different things, and it's just all about pleasure and fun and what makes you feel good. Problem is that, look, consequences for every action, every choice. Possess ye your souls. If you make a choice and you make a decision, there's a consequence for it. And for the people that push that stuff out there, that which they pushed, the problem is that it doesn't work. So they only show you a 3-minute video. But that 3-minute video doesn't show you any of the ramifications of those kind of choices, of that kind of lifestyle. You know, I remember when I used to be in D.C., somebody told me this one time. They said, the average life expectancy of a rock star was 33 years. The average rock star lived to be 33 years old. I haven't validated that, but I know there's a lot of them that have been bumped off much younger than that, so it probably averages out. Quick life. Flash in the pan. All of us are here for a very short time, but they even cut it shorter. How do you do that? And some stupid songs. Gosh. Have you ever read the lyrics to those things? Catchy beats, sure. But listen to the lyrics. Read. Just pull up the lyrics for whatever song you think of. Dumb. Dumb, dumb. Anyways. How now do we live? In the time that we're in right now, part of it is learning to be. Learning to be in Him. In Him, live and move and have your being. Part of it, a very strong part of this whole thing, is to be moving into eternity right now. As a follower of Christ, to switch into an eternal reality now. In your state of being, in the way that you relate to your body, in the way you relate to your mind, your thoughts, your soul, and to shift into a place of perpetually being and walking and existing in I Am. As you do that, then with the things that you would do, with the activities that you'd be involved with, those will flow from Him. Because wherever it is that He puts you, whatever it is that He involves you in, is going to be something that is part of your process, something satisfying to your soul, something that you would look back later on and say, you know what, I see God's hand in that, and I'm so glad that I did that. Not that we spend a lot of time in reflective thought, but, you know, I look back for myself when I think about where God's brought me to and from and through, and I'm just amazed. I'm amazed that God has done what He's done with and in and through my life. And I look back and I'm just grateful for it, because that's Him. The only thing I had to do was walk with Him. The only thing I had to do is when He said left, go left. When He said right, go right. When He said do this, to do it. You and I, you don't need to make it more complex than it is. You know, our role here is not to fix the world's problems. I know, surprise, surprise, right? No, it's not to fix the world's problems. We may engage in helping to alleviate the suffering of others as the Spirit of God leads us to. But in the middle of that, realize you're not going to fix anything. You're not going to change anything as such. You can help some people, but that's a window of time. And usually that has something to do with what God is doing in your own soul. In your own process, part of your own life, your own restoration, your own redemption. So, no, it's all good. You know, we're just here to do that which the Spirit of God leads us to do. Let the results rest in His hands. Let the consequences, the good ones that come from sowing to the Spirit, because you reap life from that, let the good consequences be in His hands. Do what the Spirit leads you to do. And when you do that, when you trust Him like that, you leave space now for the Spirit of God to create in and through you. You know that God's people are incredibly creative people. I mean, they really are. The ones that I know, the real ones that I know, are incredible and incredibly creative people. They just create because the Spirit of God flows through them like that. God's Spirit flows through His people. He's a creative God. And those that walk with Him are creative in different ways. Not everyone is a painter. Not everyone is a musician. But all of God's children, because if it's a characteristic in their father, they're all creative in their own way. And God allows them in their own way to create and to be a part of something that they can take joy and satisfaction in. So God, He works all things together for the good of those that love Him, for the good of those that are called according to His purpose. He is certainly in control. And in being in control, He knows what's going on with you. He knows where your life is going. He knows the direction, the call, the path, all of it. All you got to do is trust Him and continue to move forward with Him as He leads and guides you into all truth. And hey, you guys, I'm going to clock out and catch up with you guys again soon. So, but hey, drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. Say hi. And hey, love you guys. Keep on keeping on. We'll talk to you soon. All right. Bye.